Well, Private Desmond Doss walked into the bloodiest battle of World War II's Pacific Theater with nothing to protect himself but his Bible and his faith in God. Doss was a devout Christian. Interesting background, though. He grew up in a pacifist Christian home. His father had been a World War I veteran who suffered very badly from alcoholism and what now is known as post-traumatic stress syndrome. And so he grew up in a very violent home in terms of his dad's anger and all of that. But he grew up with a strong faith in God and a strong Christian mother. And when World War II broke out, he was one of the first ones to sign up. But the interesting thing was Doss refused to carry a gun. And so he signed up to be a medic. And Doss was a very slight young man. And because of his pacifism, he ended up being kind of the brunt of taking the brunt of abuse from his fellow soldiers in the unit that he was in. And interesting that in the end, he turned out to be quite a hero. I don't know if you maybe saw the movie several months ago, Hacksaw Ridge, but a movie was made of his heroics. Seems that the fighting was taking place on a place called Hacksaw Ridge, and it was a 400-foot cliff that the troops had to climb up, and awaiting for them at the top of the cliff were Japanese machine gun nests all over the place, booby traps, and it was a very treacherous, steep cliff, but it was a key to winning the Battle of Okinawa. Well, the troop that he was a part of took a heavy beating, and many were killed and shot, and they were called to retreat and to go back down this cliff. Well, Doss, and this is where he kind of became a hero, he refused to retreat, and one by one, he ran through enemy fire and carried one man at a time back to the cliff and lowered them down the cliff single-handedly. And by the end of the day, he had saved approximately 75 men by himself. Well, today is Memorial Weekend, this weekend, and we are called upon. This is a great American holiday to remember those who their service, but in particular those whose lives were given up in the purchasing and the protecting of our national freedoms. And if you want to get your outlines out, kind of follow along. That is what that first one is, remembering those who sacrificed their lives for our country and our national freedoms. I read this week that about 1,266,304 lives have been given. This was a statistic from 2015 in the wars that were fought to protect America's freedom. That's a lot of lives that have been spent for our freedoms that we enjoy, why we can meet in freedom today. And we recognize those. I want to ask a question for you. Maybe some of you have had friends or loved ones in the past that gave their lives in military service for this country. If so, I want to just take a minute and have you, if you would be willing to, just to share their name for us this morning. Any names you would want to share?
We had two neighborhood boys here, Nate
Bauman
and Tim
Govan. Okay, right here from Idaville.
Yeah, from
that part of the town. Okay, and which war?
Iraq.
Iraq. Okay, good. Thank you for sharing that. Yes?
John Kybers.
Okay, John Kybers. Know that name? Kybers family? Any others? That just family and friends through the years? Anybody else come to mind? What's his name?
Dean Duvall.
Dean Duvall.
Vietnam.
Okay. Any others that come to mind?
Yep. Our friend Cece, her dad.
Okay.
His first
Okay. 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 Good. Mike. Virgil. Okay. Well, that's a good representation. Yes. Okay. Well, that's what this weekend is about, to remember those. And sometimes that gets, of course, lost in the busyness. It becomes and it's good that it's a family weekend and all of that. It's great to be together with family. Al? Yep.
Speak up. I can't hear what's the name.
Okay. Am I on? I
think what I'm on.
I was just asking people to share names of people in their life, family, friends, that had been lost in battle. We're at Memorial Weekend. So did you have somebody in mind?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
My cousin, he was 7 years older than I was, than I am.
Yeah.
And he lost his life over in the islands in the Navy.
Okay.
In battle of the, I forget which one now, but that's, he was there.
Okay. What was his name?
Paul Mitchell.
Okay. Very good. Well, that's what we wanted to begin with today, just to take a few minutes to say those names out loud, to recognize and remember them as representation of all the over million that gave their lives. And before I even go any further, I guess I just want to pause and maybe say a prayer of thanksgiving for those. If you would bow and maybe just join me real quick, and then we'll continue on. Father, we do want to pause this memorial weekend to remember, and each of these folks mentioned names of people from the area, or that were relatives or friends or parents of friends. And Lord, we do live in a very unique country. And Lord, many hundreds of thousands, even over a million men and women have given their lives for the protection of those rights and freedoms that we enjoy, that allow us to come and worship you with freedom. And we do want to just give you praise for their sacrifice and recognize them, Lord, in their bravery and their heroics, that we might be free. And so we just celebrate that this weekend as a congregation. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, there was another who gave his life for our freedom that I want to talk just a little bit about this morning, and that we should remember. Memorial Weekend, of course, is about remembering. And there's a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that says this: remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. Raised from the dead, descended from David. Paul's writing to his young protege, Timothy, and he says, "This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal." Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter to Timothy. "But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Remember Jesus Christ. That is Paul's admonition to Timothy. And so as we think about those who've given their lives for our freedom, I can't think of any better description than that of Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for our freedom. This morning, we are going to look at a couple of really important passages from the epistles, that section of scripture we're going to read together this summer. But we need to remember Christ. We need to remember him not just once a year, like we, you know, Memorial Weekend is an annual thing. But the admonition here that Paul gives Timothy and gives us is, we need to remember Jesus Christ every single day. It needs to be a daily discipline to remember Christ, to think about to dwell on the reality of who Christ is and what Christ has accomplished for us. And what does it mean to live our lives in Christ and for His glory? That is the admonition that Paul gives us this morning. To remember Jesus every day, we need to. It mentions a chain of words in that passage. Remember Jesus. This is the second blank in your outline if you're following along. Remember His resurrection. It talks about to remember Jesus in Paul's eyes, in Paul's terms, is to remember His resurrection. You know, I mean, you don't think about a great person without thinking about their greatest feats, their greatest accomplishments. And so to think about Jesus is to remember His death and His resurrection, that He was raised from the dead, victorious over sin and death. Remember His gospel. That's another word found there in 2 Timothy. Remember the gospel. We sang about this morning, we sang about God's grace. His amazing grace, and that it is enough. And that is so true, because salvation, this idea of being forgiven for our sins, of having a relationship with God, of having a right standing before God, is not something that we earn by being good enough or by keeping a set of rules or a list of do's and don'ts. It is the gift of God. That's what grace means. It is the gift of God that He gives us through faith in Christ. And so we are to remember the gospel that Christ died to purchase for us. That is His salvation. Every day, friends, is a new opportunity to remember Christ and to walk in victory. Or every day is an opportunity to forget Jesus and to walk in victory. Defeat. That is actually the choice that is before us on a daily basis. Am I going to remember Christ and who He is and what He's done for me and what He's called me to? Or am I going to just kind of forget about that and live my own way? That is the choice that's before us. Now, Christ's resurrection, that's Paul talked about there in Timothy, was a resurrection of victory. And so I want to talk about two specific areas where Christ won a victory through His death and resurrection that we need to remember Him for this morning. We have two great enemies. I don't know if you think in these terms, but you really should, because this is a picture of reality today. We have two great enemies that we face every day. And the good news of the gospel is, and why we need to remember Jesus, is because He won the victory over these two great enemies. So number three on your outlines there, the third one there, is remember Jesus and His victory over sin. That is the first thing that Scripture tells us very clearly. Why Jesus came to die on the cross and to be raised again was to win the victory over sin. Paul was writing a letter to a group of Christians that had been saved and had come out of what we would call a very worldly background. And they came from all kinds of struggles and sin struggles, and they had come to know the forgiveness and the new life that is in Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes to the Colossian believers, and this is one of the great passages of the New Testament for the church, and describing, if you want to get down into the details of what Christ did on the cross, Colossians 2, 13 and 14 is a great passage. Let me read it for you. Paul tells these believers, he reminds them, listen, when you were dead in your sins, you were dead in your sins. That's where God found you. You were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature. That's just kind of an Old Testament nuance saying that you were basically controlled by your sin nature. That's what was ruling your life. But right in the middle of that, God made you alive with Christ. How did He do that? Well, first of all, He forgave us all our sins. And he makes a weird reference here, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took that list, that written code, away. And what did he do with it? He nailed it to the cross. The picture there, it's a kind of an interesting one. In the Greco-Roman world, there was literally a list that was kept. If you had a debt that you owed Rome, and it was written on, you know, they kept a written record of your indebtedness to Rome. Well, Paul's using that language kind of as an illustration and saying, in the same way, because of our sinfulness, we have an indebtedness to God. And God keeps that list of our offenses against him and the things that we do that kind of where we shake our fist and we say, God, I don't want to do things your way. I want to do things my way. I want to live my life apart from you, even though you made me, even though you love me, even though you're Lord over everything. I reject that and I'm going to live for myself in the way that I think, in the way that I treat other people, in the way that I live my life. I'm rebelling against you. I just gave you a definition and a picture of sin. And God says, I keep track of that. But what happened on the cross was this. That debt that you had before God, however long that list is of our debt of sinfulness before God, he took it. And he took it when Jesus was on the cross, and it says he nailed it to the cross. That's where Scripture tells us that Christ on the cross bore our sin. He took the punishment and the judgment that we deserved on the cross in our place. And God just nailed our list. So think about your sin list. We all got a sin list, right? We all are at least somewhat conscious and aware of the things that we've done in our lives, maybe the things that we're still doing in our lives that we know aren't pleasing to God. We know they offend God. And God says, I took that and I nailed it to the cross, and Christ died providing forgiveness of sin. That's what the gospel is. That is what salvation is. I want to read a parallel passage. If you read the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians, there are two different letters that Paul wrote. He has a lot of parallels in those two letters. And I want to read you from Ephesians chapter 2, a very similar description of what Christ did for us in terms of sin. Again, this is another letter written to another church. It might have been a letter written to the Idaville First Church of God. It was a church just like ours, of people who were looking to Christ. And Paul says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were separated from God. That's what that word dead means. It doesn't mean physically dead. It means they were spiritually dead before they came to Christ. They were separated from God. The sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That's just a reference to Satan, acknowledging there is an evil force and you used to follow and serve Satan. Even if you didn't do it consciously, you were following his ways, the ways of the world. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient to God. All of us also lived among them, people of the world, at one time. And what was the description of that? Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. There's a way of thinking that's out in the world that basically rejects God, rejects Christ, and just lives for self. And that's what these people were saved out of, a very selfish, indulgent lifestyle. And Paul's just reminding them, you used to live that way. And you were dead and you were separated from God. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of God's wrath. Meaning there was accountability before God for rejecting him. The punishment for sin is judgment. And God holds that against us apart from Christ. We were objects of his wrath. That was their position before God. But because, verse 4, this is the greatest right here. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, that's another similar word to grace, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions or sins. It is by grace, there's that word again, you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So he's just reminding first the Colossians, then the Ephesians, and reminding us this morning, this Memorial Day weekend, when we're supposed to not only remember those who've given their lives, but we're to remember Jesus, reminding us, listen, we were all once separated from God. But because of Christ's death on the cross, when we put our faith in him, we receive his gift of grace, his gift of forgiveness and new life in Christ. That is the great word of God. It says there that not only are we forgiven our sins, and not only are we given new life for living day by day today, but in the end, one day, we will be raised up with Christ, meaning just like Christ was raised from the dead. In the end, if we have faith in Christ, if we are his children, that's that promise of eternal life, of being with God in his presence. Right now, when you trust in Christ, here's what you get. You get a new spirit. You get a new heart in your old body. That's how that works. God renews your heart. And he performs what I guess I would call spiritual CPR on us when we trust in Christ. He makes us alive inside with a new life. And we have that every day. We have that with us. And then when we die in this life, if we have trusted in Christ, along with that new heart, we get a new body. Because we go to be with the Lord in heaven forever, and all of that comes together. And that is what salvation is. And that's what that means, that we are raised up with Christ. And so we need to remember Jesus Christ this morning. And we need to remember him every morning for the new life that he has given us. I remember when I was about 20 years old. And I had been kind of flirting with Christianity. I had been kind of flirting with spirituality. But I was still living far from God in my heart. I was going to church on Sundays and I was doing some stuff, but in my heart I was full of the things of the world. I was full of pride. I was full of spiritual pride, actually, at that point in my life. I thought, well, I'm going to church and I'm trying to do things to make God happy, and I was proud of myself. And I was full of that pride that we read about in the Pharisees. They were so proud of their knowledge. And that's kind of part of where I was at. I was also full of unforgiveness toward family members that had hurt me, towards others. I just had a heart full of unforgiveness. Man, I was angry at people or bitter at different people. Had unforgiveness towards my father. And I just had a lot of unforgiveness in my heart. I was full of other sins, of just growing up in the world, full of lust, full of anger. And that's where God found me when I was 20. Those were my list of sins, and probably many more that were nailed to the cross with Christ. And I trusted in Christ, and he saved me. And he set me apart and he gave me a new heart and a new life. And he set me on a new path. You see, Christianity is not just about, hey, I prayed a sinner's prayer and now I'm forgiven, and so I can go on and just live any way I want to live. But when God saved me, He set me on a new path. He said, Mike, I've called you now to live, you know, for me, for my glory, on the path that I've called you to. And so remembering Jesus all these years later, every day is a new opportunity to say, Lord, today, because of your death on the cross, because of your resurrection, because you've called me to live a new life, I need to remember Jesus today. I need to remember that it's all about Him. And I need to remember Jesus because I can't do it on my own. Every time I try to live the Christian life or just to live life apart from God, apart from His power, apart from His perspective, I end up messing it up. I end up being impatient. I end up being just selfish. I need Jesus every day. We invited the Holy Spirit in our singing today. Holy Spirit, that's the power of God in our life that He's given us to live a new life. I need the Holy Spirit every day. And so do you. And so we've got to get into this daily discipline of remembering Jesus. Coming to Him every day and say, Lord, I need you today. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your direction. I need your wisdom. And in this Holy Spirit, I need your power so that I can live that life that you came to give me. So remember Jesus and His victory over sin. There's one more I want to hit on real quick that's actually somewhat related. The last one on your outline, remember Jesus and His victory not only over sin but over Satan. I want to go back to that great passage in Ephesians or in Colossians in just a minute. But in Ephesians, we're reminded. This is a great reminder. And Ephesians 6:12, it says, our battle, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's like Paul is saying something very radical here. All of that list there, rulers and authorities and powers, that's all a description of Satan and the demonic realm. And what he's saying in this passage is, listen, you Christians, you think that your battle, your struggles are against other people. Because that's who you fight with. And that's who you struggle to get along with. But if you knew the truth, your real battle is that there is an invisible enemy that hates God, that sits there and he tries to tempt us and lure us away from God every day. That is your real spiritual battle. And the thought that he's there probably very rarely even crosses your mind. And so Paul basically saying, I want to give you a wake-up call. You do have an enemy. And he wants to destroy your faith. And if you don't remember Jesus every day, he's going to be able to do it. But here's the good news once again. Go back to Colossians. And I just want to pick it up right where I left off and pick it up in verse 15. Not only did he win the victory over sin, but it says, and having disarmed or defeated the powers and authorities, again, that's just a New Testament description of Satan and his whole realm of influence. He made a public spectacle over them. How? By triumphing or winning the victory over them by the cross. When a king or a general or a military leader in Rome would win a military victory, he would take all of the survivors of the territory that was just conquered and all of the treasures from that territory, and they would have a big parade. back in Rome. And they would parade through the streets, and the military leaders would be out in front, and all of the conquered people would be in this parade or this train behind them. These defeated enemies would have to follow along behind, and the crowds would cheer for the victory that had been won. And that's the image here of Christ's victory over Satan. Making a public spectacle of Satan and his hordes. He defeated Satan on the cross. He defeated his attempts at thwarting God's plan. And the images of him, Christ, parading through the streets with a victory over Satan. And we cheer that victory. It says he disarmed or defeated the rulers and authorities. And he put them to open shame. So here's what I want to tell you this morning as I close this Memorial Weekend. Is, friends, even though you didn't feel like it this morning, we face a ferocious battle. We have two primary enemies that we battle every day. We have Satan, who is the enemy of all things that God cares about, all of God's children. And he does his work. He's the great accuser, the Bible calls him. He accuses Christians. He basically gets in our ear and he whispers lies all day long. And he accuses us. You're not really a child of God. God doesn't really love you. Oh, you sinned one too many times. You can never be forgiven for all that you've done. And he accuses us. You ever hear his accusing in your ear? Anybody? I hear his accusing, his accusations against me all the time. And sometimes he works in another way. He's like the master hunter. He puts that little trap before us. He knows where my weak spots are. He knows where my sin struggles are. And he tempts me, rather than trusting God, to do that other thing that goes against God. And that battle goes on in my heart. And Satan is just like tempting me to go his way and go against God. But the good news again in that battle is that Christ died to win the victory over Satan. But the battle still goes on. See, here's how this works. Satan is like a criminal, a mass murderer that's been arrested, but he hasn't been executed yet. Okay, that's going to happen one day in the future when Christ returns at the end of time. He will be done away with once and for all. So he's been defeated, but he's still at work. And the only hope that we have is to remember Jesus every day and to walk in Jesus' strength every day. Or he will chew us up and spit us out. You remember what it says in Peter? Satan is like a what? A roaring lion going back and forth looking for who he can devour. But if you will remember Jesus every day, if you will walk in Jesus, you will win that victory every day. So victory over Satan, victory over sin. We can only have that victory as we remember Christ. Will you pray with me? And let's just go before the Lord and remember him one more time. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the promises of your word. And I thank you for how you remind us again and again that Jesus Christ is the one who won the victory over sin and death and the devil in order that we might live that new life. And the secret to live in that life, and that's really the point of this morning, is that we've got to remember Jesus every day. We've got to remember that he is the one who died on the cross, and he was the one who was raised from the dead. And he is the one who gives us new life. And every day we can choose to walk with Jesus and to live for Jesus and to remember Jesus. Or we can choose to forget him. And my prayer for us as we go this morning is that we would remember Christ every day. We ask these things in his name. Amen.